Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we are back with our OG crew, Nick and Randy. How's it going?
Go ahead, Randy.
Okay, I'll go first. Hey, good morning! Good morning!
Thank you, Tim.
Tim Apple.
Yes.
Tim Apple.
Let's just address that as the elephant in the room. We got to get that out of the way. That
for
was
Drew Talos. I have a question for you, Drew Talos.
I just want you guys to know if you see Drew's Twitter right now, if you go on, I guess while this episode posted a couple of days ago from this releasing, you'll see memojis all over the place where there's Tim Cook and Donald Trump. And it's just we're making fun of the recent events. So yeah, we're
the way that Tim Cook addressed it was the most hilarious part was that he embraced it. He was like, I'm going to change my Twitter bio now. That seems appropriate.
That's great. Thank you, Tim Apple. Thank you.
Right. Well, we have.
How you doing, Nick?
I was doing okay.
He was.
I made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I made a pretty big mistake.
What was the mistake?
I had a moment of weakness. Well, actually about a month and a half of weakness.
Wow. That's a lot of weakness.
I decided I have something to confess.
Okay.
Drew.
Yeah.
Talos and Randy Music. I have left iPhone.
Oh my god. Nick and Sweeney
has
left the iOS sheets. Ecosystem.
The iOS beta guy?
Yep.
Wow.
Nick Beta has left iOS. I know, it is shocking.
Oh my god. What have you switched to? What's happening?
Oh, also, I bought a OnePlus 6T, I think.
Dang,
Yeah.
Making the Android Switch.
Yeah.
You and me both, because I'm on the S10 right now, and I'm having a somewhat decent experience, but we'll get into that later. I'm curious as to why Nick has switched and how you're enjoying it. What's it like? Finally, have you
I'm
ever
disappointed
used
in both of you?
Well, so I've never used Android before.
Wow.
I was an Android virgin before this.
Great.
I felt very guilty and dirty opening up that OnePlus box and starting it up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it took me about an hour and a half, 2 hours to kind of figure out how it all worked and figure out how I wanted it set up.
Okay.
A lot more than I would have ever spent on an iPhone, because iPhones are kind of already set up that way.
And you've got your iCloud backups and iMessage. You're losing all that, dude.
I know. It's sad. And
wow.
So I didn't do much research about the OnePlus 6T. I knew it had an in-display fingerprint reader, and I knew it was $550.
Okay.
And I knew it had a teardrop notch. That's literally all I knew about it.
Affordable
Android. I bought it.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's actually one-third the cost of my iPhone. So that's kind of how I'm looking at this.
A third? Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yep.
Because you got the maxed out XS.
Oh, that's right.
So it's one-third the price of your iPhone. Wow.
Yep.
That's quite
And I think it is about one-third the phone. So I'm having problems dinging it. Well, you know, it's not a bad thing. The iPhone's a really good phone.
Okay, fair.
It's a decent phone. It does what it needs. Got it to work with Verizon, which was exciting.
Impressive.
I don't know. It took me a while to figure out the buttons and gestures because, like, I knew Android 9 was supposed to have gestures, right?
Mm.
But the device was saying that it was on Android 9, but it had the buttons.
Right.
And so I was like, well, what is going on here? So I installed like Nova Launcher, thinking maybe that would help, but it didn't.
Okay.
I had to figure out how to uninstall Nova Launcher. That wasn't fun. And then anyway, it's just somewhere in the settings. I don't know. I just feel like it's very different, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Well, that's
I thought it was going to be like hell on earth, but it's just like mild discomfort, like sand in your pants.
Could that be the next version of Android? Hashtag Android sand in your pants. Okay.
Sweeney.
Yes, Randy.
First question. The most relevant question. How did you get it on Verizon? How's that? I thought that was like hardware-wise physically impossible.
I know, me too. So I bought the phone on Amazon, and it was like all over Amazon. This does not work with CDMA, will not work with Verizon, will not work with Sprint. You know, do not try to use it. So I was like, well, I want to use this cheap phone, and so I guess I'm going to have to call T-Mobile and get my number ported over and do like a temporary month plan or whatever, because I don't want to use this thing long term.
Sure.
But so I was prepared to do that. But then after I got the OnePlus 16, I was using it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is this OLED? Is this I couldn't tell if it's OLED, and I still can't really tell because it's not inky black like my iPhone, but it looks like it is probably OLED just with the cutout and stuff. So anyway, I found a Verge video. I'm not normally a Verge viewer. But I found a Verge video about the OnePlus 6T, and I watched it, and I like learned a lot about the phone I was holding. It's like, you know, use the settings to switch between the buttons and the gesture controls. Like, oh, that's cool to know. And then one of the things he said is this is the first OnePlus phone to work with Verizon. And so I was like, well, what the heck? Like, even inside the box I bought it in, it said this phone will not work with Verizon or Sprint. So I don't know. So I just sat, I was in my car, you know, I was waiting for someone in a parking lot, and sounds shady. I got
you bought it from this shady dude. What kind of Android you want? I got all kinds of them.
Hey, are you looking for an Android? I got OnePluses, I got Oppos, I got Huawei's, I got Galaxies.
Oh my gosh.
Every time he opens up his other side of the jacket, it's a new set of Android phones.
They're constantly swapping out.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Then there's no pleasing you.
So you got to work with Verizon.
I just swapped the SIMs, and like literally as soon as I popped the SIM in, it just like connected to the network and it was like LTE. I'm like, hey, cool.
Wow.
It was the easiest thing in the world.
So my question is, what was your motivation to try out Android? What's the reasoning here?
Well, there's someone else on this podcast who's supposed to also be switching to Android. But
Drew is on
didn't.
Android. What are you talking about?
Someone else, Randy. Randy and I had this big evil master plan that was kind of thrown into the trash when Drew got his S10. Because
tell him everything, why don't you? Jeez.
They had to ship the S10 like 2 days early, and I got mine.
Yeah.
I was supposed to get it on the 8th, and it got here on the 6th, and I unboxed it on the 7th. So, it threw off your plan a little bit.
Yep.
That's okay. Apparently, it wasn't going to work anyway because this conversation started when either I made a tweet or we talked about it on a previous episode, something along the lines that Nick picked up that I was like, man, you know, I'm an Android virgin. I've never used it. And technically to this day, I've still never used one by a technical error this time. But so I talked about it. I was like, if I were to try one, I wouldn't mind OnePlus being my first Android phone because I hear great reviews, just overall cost efficiency, just because I'm not trying to get the most specced out, priced out Android, because in my mind, personally, there's no amount of oomph you can put into the hardware of a different phone to make it, for me, feel as good as iOS. Mm-hmm. And if anything, Philip with his quote-unquote 9 days of using the Galaxy, which wasn't even 9 days, it was seven if he was to stay honest with it. But the thing is that even he was saying that's like, for as great as the phone was, it still has these lagginess going on.
Sure.
And I expect lagginess with Android. So I don't want to put my top dollar on a Galaxy or that ugly Pixel. I gagged right there. I would definitely do it on something that, you know, maybe even in the community, Marquez gave it the highest, you know, oh, hey, here's the smartphone of the year. Sure, I wouldn't mind trying that. Just knowing that I was going to have a subpar experience, I was willing to at least put subpar money towards it. So that's what the initial thought process was with it. And Nick was like, we should do that as a challenge. I'm like, cool, let's do that. And then part of the grand evil master plan was that when we come up to see you in 2 weeks, we were going to have the phones with us as well and just be miserable. We're going to bring our iPhones too because, you know, I'm not evil.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But the thing is, like, I just wanted to see what it'd be like. I'm not a peasant. God, my AirPods will be so naked. So, I just wanted to try it out. I still do want to try it out, but I will be the first to say, you know, as of today, well, as of recording this, you guys, especially you, Nick, kind of make me just don't mind waiting. And the thing is, I ordered
You made me do this, Randy, though. This is your fault.
My OnePlus was supposed to be here yesterday, and I didn't get it. So I might get it.
This is a sign
Monday.
From God.
This is, 100%. And you know what? I am just one step. We are all, as humans, just kind of like one step above throwing poop at each other like monkeys. I'm not going to question the good Lord's, you know, plan. If he says, Randy, you're not supposed to have it, Roger that. I'm not. Who am I to question it? There's many things in this universe I understand, and apparently I'm not supposed to have an Android today. So here I am, memojiing it up. And you know what's crazy though is that I just found out this morning, mm-hmm. before we started recording, Nick hasn't got a single one of my texts, and only Drew and I, mm-hmm. have been communicating in our group chat, and that's telling. That to me, that's, yep. telling as is that. Mm-hmm. As hard as a group text message, like we can't even get that right. Just it tells me about how the little hiccups and learning curves that we have to do. And because right now your sim is in the Galaxy, right?
That's correct. I'm on the S10, using it as my daily. You're welcome to go check all my tweets. There's I think one from the iPad, but that doesn't count because switching to Android doesn't mean you can't use other right. devices.
Especially because they just have lots of very good tablets to use. Android, yeah. has so many good, decent, amazing tablets.
Sent from Samsung Smart Fridge. I have pretty good things to say about it. I think a lot of people have been confused a lot lately. Like at the time of recording this, the last tech video I uploaded was about the Galaxy Buds and how I thought they were a pretty good deal, and they sound great, and they work great, and I like them a lot. And I would even recommend them to people who are looking to buy wireless earbuds. And as soon as I made that video, there's all these people in the comments that are like, ah, see, this is refreshing. Drew's just being honest. He's not being emotional. And he's not letting his bias affect his decision. And I'm like, guys, it's always honesty. If I'm telling it's you I don't me. Like something, it's because I don't like something. It's not that I decided to be fair today. And other days I wasn't fair. It's like,
that's fine.
In the past, I was hard on products because I believed they weren't good, or I didn't think they should exist, or I thought they were overpriced. And that's when I would get ranty and I'd get angry about it. The reason I'm not getting ranty or angry about the Galaxy Buds is I genuinely think they're good. It's just funny to me that people are like, well, as soon as Drew likes something that's not Apple, that makes it honesty. It's like, to me, it's like, yeah. No, it's always honesty. That's never changed. The only difference is
they just pick and choose what's honest.
Right. They're like, oh, now it's honest because it's not about Apple. It's like, I have always admitted I lean towards Apple. I'm biased towards Apple. If something is just as good as an Apple product, I'll probably lean towards the Apple product anyway, just because, yeah. that's part of my ecosystem. Like, for instance, mm-hmm. right now I'm using my AirPods, but that's also because I can't figure out how to connect the Galaxy Buds to the iPad, which I'll probably have to look up. But I know you can do it because they pair with anything via Bluetooth. But anyway, that's besides the point. I have good things to say about the S10 and my experience with it. And I'm glad that Nick and eventually Randy will hopefully be able to share your thoughts on switching to Android either. But I just find it interesting that you both picked a phone that I have never tried and a brand I've never tried.
Yeah. this is something I didn't realize until I had, because again, I didn't do much research about the phone before I bought it.
You went into this totally blind, Nick. You had no idea about
like,
this phone.
Randy was like, hey, we should get the OnePlus 6T. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, cool. And I bought it. Like,
but
that's
only
literally
for one reason, and that's just cost savings.
Yeah,
I have
cheap.
Every intention of returning the phone because I know I will not be that person that says, I'm scared I'm going to like it. Or I'm not going to be the person that says, you know, maybe this will be the one that convinces. Like, I am too far into the ecosystem and willingly. Like you said, Drew, like, this is a choice that I am cognitively aware, mm-hmm. that iOS and the whole Apple ecosystem, so even macOS to include, that they have fluidity right. They have everything correct, and they have great hardware, and they, in my opinion, obviously, that I'm okay giving that Apple tax for the comfort of that. Like, I just want it to work, and mm-hmm. if there's bugs and hiccups along the way, like, then that's where frustrations, Apple would have got my frustrations, but they don't, like, we are I am spoiled, okay? I'll speak just on behalf of me. Like, if I'm over here, you know, I recently said that, like, oh, here's my wish list. It's small, but that's me nitpicking. It doesn't affect my day-to-day usage. It's not like we have a really bad bug that's going on. And whenever there is a bad bug or there's some type of vulnerability, Apple is so quick to fix it, and it's massively distributed to the whole, everybody who's on iOS. And so I have that sense of security that, like, okay, I'm in a good ecosystem. I have a good platform. So altogether, using iPhone as a choice for me, it's for me, it's like
the default, you know.
It's a good default. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, I know OnePlus, Galaxy, Pixel, Oppo, I don't think we can use that in the States, right? But anyway, all these any phone at all, I will not stay, because I need more than just the phone. And I don't, if it's like, oh yeah, but this one has a smaller notch, or this one has a better, this one's U2 optimized. That's not enough for me. Like, what, my watch, like, I need my watch to work. I need Mac OS with the notes. Like, I use the notes multiple times a day, and I need it cross communicating. Otherwise, I'm going to lose track of my work. And there's just certain conveniences. And I know there's workarounds, whether you want to use OneNote or any of that stuff. But the point is, like, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I can share things with you guys comfortably amongst our work. And it just, like, right here, we're FaceTiming on iPad. Thank God we all have iPads.
Yeah.
I don't want to use Skype. Skype is garbage.
No, it always glitches out every time we use Skype, but freaks out.
Yeah. So trying OnePlus, or just trying any Android phone, like, it, for me, it was just like, what's I'm not going to give my top dollar to any of them. And OnePlus is the best bang for your buck, so I've heard. And, you know, Nick is having some, you know, growing pains along the way, but that's, you know, it's to be expected with it.
Sure,
I'm not in a hurry. Like, I'm fine. And
yeah, no, this is...
once we decide to stop this, you know, this charade of like, ooh, how is it? I'll give my honest review on it, and I'll be objective with it. But even being objective, like, I'm not objective. No one's objective. There are things of why I like iPhone, and my review, when I do eventually have enough time with the OnePlus, I'm going to compare it to why I like iPhone more. And I like speaker, right? We have the best speakers. We have the best mic. You questioned that though, Drew. You said the Galaxy
it's a shame, because for those listeners of the podcast who don't watch the Talos of Talks vlogs, I recently did a vlog on the S10, because I feel like video performance is something most YouTubers kind of ignore. They roughly talk about it, or they'll take pictures, but they barely talk about video and audio performance. So that was like the first thing I wanted to do. So yesterday I did a vlog on it, and the audio was okay. It was for the most part pretty good, nothing too bad. But then as soon as I turned the camera around and I faced the rear facing camera away from me, I noticed the audio sounded wonderful, incredibly crisp, and it almost sounded like a professional, you know, like podcast microphone. I was listening to it with my iMac Pro setup, and it just got so incredibly clear, and I was like, oh my God, that sounds great. I wish there was that mic on the back of the phone, because that's, as a vlogger, my big frustration with most Samsung phones is that iPhones, for the longest time, as long as I can remember, have always had a microphone pretty close to the camera on the back, so that when you filmed things with the back camera, you could get a pretty good audio feedback and audio experience. If you're filming someone and they're talking and they're doing something, iPhones are good at that. And the microphone sounded amazing on the S10, except it only sounds amazing on one side of the phone. So if I guess I could start vlogging with the front-facing camera, but that's obviously going to be a compromise in several departments, because I think, as per usual, rear-facing camera is always going to be higher performing than the front-facing. So it's like, it's a compromise I have to pick. Like, okay, so if I record with the front-facing camera, the video won't look as good, but the audio will be really nice. So which one do I want to pick? But ultimately, I will say that was an incredibly how would you say it? People didn't bring that up very much. As someone who vlogs on every phone that I test, I vlogged with the Pixel 3, I vlogged with the Note 9, I vlogged with the S9, and the S10, in regards to my Android experience, has been probably the coolest phone to record vlogs on and hearing that audio and getting that 4K at 60 finally without a 5-minute cap is really refreshing. There are some people that have told me after around 13 minutes they split the file up, which I didn't know about. So it'll stay continuously recording. It won't stop you from recording the video, but it will stop the file and start another one, which I don't know why they have to do that, but they did. But overall, I'm just happy the Snapdragon chips can finally handle that now. I did notice the colors were a little bit, I don't know how to say, wonky with filming on the S10. The colors were a little bit like a little oversaturated and the exposure was kind of all over the place. But still, overall, for as I stand with Randy, like I'm, and probably you too, Nick, I'm interested in seeing what Android can do. And I like testing out different hardware, but ultimately the battles, the war is much bigger than the hardware. I think the hardware is one battle, but there's a lot of factors that go into play when it comes to which phone is the best overall experience. As much as I compliment the S10, and a lot of people are like, Samsung sheep now, what happened to Drew? There's all these jokes being made of like, how could he like something that's not made by Apple? I just try to remind him, like, this has happened before. You know, I complimented the S8 quite a bit as well. And when it came out, because I was switching from an iPhone 7, and that was a severe increase in hardware that made me like it a lot more. But ultimately, I'm going to go back to iOS still because it has that support system that's unmatched between the Mac, the iPad, the iPhone, everything being connected. Tiny things that will not feel like a big feature, but will make a big difference in your daily life. Like Nick and I were talking about the contacts situation with Android.
That's bad.
There's been some people, obviously, that I've gained new phone numbers since the last time I used Android. So when they text me on here, they just appear as their number, and I'm not sure who it is. So I have to create a new contact. And when I create a new contact on Samsung, it says, do you want to save this contact to Samsung? Do you want to save it to the phone? Or do you want to save it to Google? And I'm like, all of them, you know, just save it. I don't care. That's not a question I'm used to being. Like when I make a contact on my iPhone, it's just create contact. Boom. So when I create a contact on here, I wish I could check all three boxes, but I have to choose one. And I've noticed this problem in the past. Like if I create a contact just for the Samsung account, then the next Android I try that's not a Samsung phone won't remember that contact. If I just save it for the Google account, then sometimes Samsung won't remember that contact. And honestly, this should all be just one unified experience, but this is kind of a sacrifice when you have so many different companies involved in making one phone. We've got Google with the Play Store and building Android, but Samsung throwing one UI on top of it. And I still ultimately kind of have that struggle of like, this wasn't executed from the vision of kind of like one user. It's like a bunch of different companies with their hands in the pot, stirring it around, saying, I want it this way, I want it this way. And as impressive as it is, and I agree with Nick, it's not absolute hell to switch to Android. It's just, I would describe it as...
Sand in the pants.
I would describe it as mild discomfort, you know? Just you're like, this isn't right, this isn't natural, but there's, like a lot of people know, there's a lot of hardware advantages that Samsung typically takes the lead in that's impressive, and it's cool to mess around with, but it doesn't make the experience overall, I would say, better for me.
So what I think about what you, taking a couple steps back really quickly, one thing I like about your reviews, because it's relevant to me, and I think it's relevant to a lot more people than what we see. I don't think it is a minority, but when you talk about looking at the video and the audio of Android, that's important to me as someone who records virtually everything on my phone primarily, and I only use my DSLR when I'm making YouTube videos, but I use my video camera on my phone for everything else and also YouTube. So like, it's very important. That is my primary camera. That's my primary video camera. That's my primary audio. That's my primary everything that I use. And so hearing feedback about those features is a deciding factor. And for the longest time, that is exactly why I said I was never going to leave iPhone, was strictly because of the camera and the audio with the mic situation. I can get over the fact that my 10R at the time had a lower pixel density because I didn't care.
It
had an amazing camera, and I missed that camera for portrait stuff, but luckily we can use my girlfriend's because she still has it. But I love all that stuff. First, on top of everything else that we get with iOS, that's iMessage, AirDrop, etc. So hearing you, I think you're one of the very few, if not the only person, at least that I'm subscribed to, talk about it. That's important to me. And I think I'm glad that you always make it a point to cover that in your reviews, because a lot of people that maybe aren't in the doing YouTube stuff yet might want to.
Sure.
This should be an incentive for anybody to, like, if you want to start a YouTube channel, if you want to be a content creator of anything, like, use the camera that you have on your phone,
right,
and make that work to the best of your ability. And hearing some type of review or feedback on that, I think, is great. So that's the first thing I wanted to up. Like, don't ever stop doing that. I love it. The second thing is that people telling Drew in regards to, the Samsung sheep, blah, 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 and like whatever happened to Apple sheep and all that. The thing that you guys got to remember, our dear audience, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir here, but the reason why Talos of Tech is Talos of Tech and not, Apple sheep or something is because a long time ago, Drew acknowledged that maybe at one point, Apple won't be the best technology out there. And that's where it's not a bias of like just blind loyalty. It's that, there are facts to back up this, why he likes iOS and all things Apple right now. Who's to say that's going to be the case 5 years from now? We don't know. And so Drew covers all technology in a sense to see what's going on in the market, because if the day comes where Apple starts slipping, which I doubt they will, but we don't know. If they start slipping, he's going to call them out on it. There are videos out there of when Apple have, slipped little things here and there, and he hasn't been completely, what was it last year? The Apple defense lawyer. Not all the time. Like, sometimes if Apple messes up on something, then, he holds them just as accountable. So, I'm not shocked when you do try out these Android phones just to see what it is, because how else are you going to give it a fair assessment? Like, caring about being... It's more important to be honest and fair than it is to just, stick to a niche because it works for the time being, holds its longevity.
And we don't run into the problem of everything Apple Pro liking Samsung.
Exactly.
And everyone's like, well, you're everything Apple, though. And, it's like you associate your brand and your name with a certain company, but that really closes doors later if you want to experiment with other stuff. That was intentionally why I wanted to call it all Talos of Tech, because that would be universal. It's not like... I have to only do Apple stuff, because I actually, I think I tweeted about this. It's been 11 days since I did a video on Apple. I haven't done anything really Apple related. I've mentioned it here and there, like Galaxy Buds versus AirPods. But for the most part, there hasn't been an iPhone rumor video or iPad wishlist or anything like that. It's just there's not enough stuff going on in Apple's world to fulfill an entire, daily posting content for that. So experimenting with the other stuff is fun, and I think the last few years I tested the S8, S9, now the S10. I always am interested in the technology available because it gets you kind of motivated and inspired for the next iPhone. It's always like, this hardware is cool. I really love this feature. I want it on an iPhone now. A lot of people have that mindset because I don't want to use Android, but I want some of the hardware features that Android offers.
Yeah. Full disclosure, again, I'm pretty sure I said this once before, but I've seen it firsthand. Drew does, go all in when he's testing something. He doesn't...
Yeah, definitely.
One in his pocket and the other one is...
iPhones are not in my traveling case or anything.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. iPhones, they stay at the office. When I go home, there's no iPhone with me. The S10, because I there's some YouTubers who like carrying two phones around. I've never liked it. It doesn't feel right, and I feel like anytime I want to do something, I have to make a choice. I have to be like, do I want to do this on my phone, my iPhone, or on my Android? And I didn't like doing that because I like traveling as light as possible. If you guys ever seen my wallet, you know, it's like super compact and tiny.
Minimalism.
I don't like carrying around a bunch of stuff. So when I switch for real.
I have every intention of sitting down with you in a couple of weeks because Nick has been my guinea pig on this, and talk with Luisa. I am going to make you claim the title of minimalist because you have all the features there. You're so close, but yeah, convenience and just not have it's one less thing you have to worry about. You know, like don't where's my phone. Wait, where's my other phone?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just, you know, you work with what you got. It's frustrating on the receiving end of it sometimes. That's like, I'm glad that we all have iPads today.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have iPads and me being in iOS still, I would have been like, how are we going to do this? And mm-hmm. Here's an actual question, Drew, and I guess Nick too, since you have, if we didn't have our iPads today, would we Google Hangout or would we Skype? How does that work for
us? I don't think I'd be recording a podcast.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know how to do it on this phone. On the iPad, I know how to record my audio and FaceTime you guys and plug in my microphone.
Right.
I have like my whole little workflow.
Mm-hmm.
But on this phone, sure, it's USB-C, but I don't know what apps I need to get or whatever. I might just break out my MacBook Pro.
Yeah, probably.
So, Nick, are you keeping your phone on you, your iPhone with your
I can't decide. So I swapped SIMs last night. That was the delineating line where
yeah.
I was like, okay, well, it worked. I don't know why it worked, but it worked.
Okay.
So it's been a struggle. Like, we hadn't scheduled when we were going to record this podcast before I swapped SIMs. And so it was interesting trying to get in contact with everyone. We ended up we started a Twitter DM group chat because that was the only way we could because
the messages kept falling apart. Yeah,
yeah, I know. Yeah, MMS sucks. So anyway,
I knew there was something up when Drew got back to me this morning, and you're pretty quick to get back to me around. I figured you were still up last night, Nick, and I was like, Nick didn't get back to me. I'm thinking like, nah, maybe he just went to bed or something else. I was like, it can't be the phone. The phone's fine. It's OnePlus. And I'm like, oh, man, that thing's a hot mess right now.
Just yeah, connectivity. It is
hot
mess.
On you, though. Good on you for at least getting the thing with Verizon, because that means in the future, Drew, if you want to fiddle with the OnePlus 7.
I have agreed. Yeah. Nick and I talked about this a little earlier. I have agreed, though. I'm going to put my foot down with OnePlus because they're incredibly affordable and they give you really premium features and options, which I'm impressed by. However, I will not test out a OnePlus until they add wireless charging. As as the guy doing and promoting the portless challenge, which for the most part I usually stick to. I've probably broken it a couple times now, but I legit went like, 2 years or whatever, or a year without plugging anything into my phone. And I think I've made my point. My point with the portless challenge was, guys, it's completely doable. It's not that far-fetched to live without a port on your phone. If they want to remove it one day, I will be fine with it. It won't inconvenience me at all. And I made my point with that, so I don't care that I've broken it a couple times. It's fine. Nick brought it up because he didn't know that when he unboxed it. How did that story go, Nick?
No, so it was interesting. I'd done so little research about this phone that I didn't know it didn't have wireless charging. So I was setting it up. I was at my desk at work. I'd gotten it before I went to work. I had to pick it up from the UPS store because UPS was stupid and wanted me to pick it up during their stupid hours.
So
I was setting up at work, and like I was on their still setup screen, like signing into my Google account and all that fun stuff.
Sure.
And so I just put it on my wireless charger, because I was, going to put it down for a few minutes. And it didn't start charging. And I was like, weird. It didn't buzz or anything. A little light came on. And I was like, well, maybe it's because it's still, like, in the setup process or something. It can't, like, accept a wireless charge or something. Ooh. Nope. I tried it after it was set up. Still didn't charge. And then I realized in that Verge video that it didn't have wireless charging. Like, oh, that's why this wasn't working. Okay.
That explains
I should have done, like, 5 minutes of research before I bought this thing, and I wouldn't have been so shocked. But,
That was a big surprise for me with it.
Yeah, it has like a glass back and everything. Like, it looks like it should have wireless charging. Oh, and it's funny because everyone on the internet that I've found talking about the OnePlus 6T is always talking about how awesome their supercharging ability is, or whatever fast charging they include.
They love that.
Yeah. The box that I got has a European charger in it.
Oh. You bought a...
Yeah. So,
that's weird. You bought a... What's it called? Universal version? International version. That's right.
Yeah. I think, yeah. I don't know what I bought. But that's even more bizarre. I think I have to send it over to Benji in the UK or something because... I definitely can't use it. I'm like, everyone's talking about how cool this fast charging thing is.
But I mean, no one brings it up because OnePlus is so proud of that. You see it every year. Yeah. They're always bragging about how quick their charging is and how it's faster than anyone else. But does no one bring up how that...
Dash charge.
Yeah. Sorry. Does no one ever bring up to them that degrades the lithium faster?
Mm-mm.
Like, they never addressed that. And they... Like they, everyone on YouTube is always like, man, OnePlus, the fast charger's included, and iPhone still have the fight. It's like, there's more to it than that, you know? Like, it does hurt the longevity of the device to charge it that fast. And
I think their thing is, like, even the CEO or one of the top executives, like, not only do they not include wireless charging, they actually, on record, have said that they have no intention of ever. If they will hold out as long as possible to not include wireless charging.
I've heard that
because they don't. Yeah, they don't want it. They don't want it on there. They are more focused on their business model is that they know because they're so cheap that they want to give you maybe max, like literal max, 2 years tops of support for the sake of it's $500 in 2 years you can get another one. Like they don't want longevity in their product. They want to give you the quickest convenience, starting with cost factor, and then how quickly can we get your battery up to 100%. They don't care if it's going to completely nuke the battery at one point down the road. At that point, they're betting on you, like, upgrading, because their counter to it by upgrading is that, well, I mean, it was $500.
Yeah, they legit release a new phone every 6 months, you know.
That's
sometimes
it. Yeah.
People suggest, with iPhone upgrades not being that major, should they like do an iPhone upgrade every other year? And it's like, I mean, Apple's the slow one here. Samsung releases the Note and the S series 6 months apart, and then OnePlus does it every 6 months, and Apple's the oddball who releases just one set of iPhones at the same time each year. They're the slow ones. So asking for them to be like even slower than that, I think is a little far fetched. Also, and because of the iPhone upgrade program, I don't think they could ever do that. They've kind of promised everyone a new iPhone every 12 months, so they're kind of agreed to that schedule. They can't be like, not anymore.
I think they can start implementing. I mean, the closest thing that we've seen so far with every 6 months, quote unquote, is product red. But even then, like that's not a new phone. That's just a promotional life cycle thing, you know.
It's not.
You're right. It's a good promo to get the life cycle. Okay, hey, we're starting to see it stagnant or sales are dropping. Here's product red. Woo!
In other words, like, and the product red iPhones that come out don't devalue the iPhones that came out 6 months ago. Whereas that's what the OnePlus 6T does to the OnePlus 6. Yes. Once the 6T drops, suddenly the OnePlus 6 is not as valuable anymore. And the product red doesn't ever do that, I think. I've never heard of, unless there's some kind of study that shows that, like, the product red version of phones sell at a higher price. I haven't seen anyone say, like, they're selling a red iPhone 7 on Facebook or eBay, and it's like, well, because it's not available anymore, we're going to charge more. Like, usually they treat them exactly the same as any other iPhone 7.
And funny enough, I know Samsung has a different line with their Note line, but by them bringing that out, so like on paper Galaxy is once a year and the Note is once a year, but even though that's the case, it's really not, because I've seen it. I saw it last year and I saw it for the S8 when you're getting close to the Note release, and especially when the Note release happens, the Galaxy S line drops in price, so it is going after their sales. So even though it's a whole different series, I would say that it's not just OnePlus with their T, and then their next one is getting rid of the last model. The Note will do the same thing, and they're kind of they kind of bet on that, so to say, that like on here's your pro feature and here's your note. And then when that comes out, Galaxy drops, and then 6 months later once we get iPhone, or I'm sorry, not iPhone, when we get Galaxy S11, then the Note 10 will drop a little bit in price. So they are kind of doing that. And so
it's kind of hard on the consumer base too, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think it's frustrating, particularly imagine if not everyone buys phones right when they come out, right? And the Note 9 in general is not that old. You know, it came out in August, a month before the new iPhones came out. So imagine if you waited a couple months, let's say it was like January in the time frame, you're like, okay, I'm ready for an upgrade. That Note 9 looks pretty good. So you buy the Note 9, which was a $1,000 phone. And then 2 months later, not even that long, 2 months later, S10 drops, same price, better display, camera hole, more higher screen to body ratio, display has the fingerprint reader built into it. You've got three cameras on the back now instead of the Note 9's two. You have a great battery. You have the reverse wireless charging. You get all these advantages that you were like, okay, so I could have waited 2 months and got that for the same price? Like, it's already bad enough that a lot of people will buy iPhones, you know, 4 months, 3 months before the refresh.
Yeah.
I always try to tell people in my personal life, because I'm sure you guys get it too, if you're into tech stuff, people are going to ask you what phone to buy and when. Typically, if someone asks me like, hey, I'm looking to buy a new iPhone, I don't have much money, should I get this? I always say like, don't buy it right now. You know, wait if it's close to the September timeframe, basically. Like if we're in July... If we're in August, I tell them, like, if you can, hold out a little bit longer, because then either the phone you want to get will get cheaper, or the phone that's too expensive but you want will become less expensive. So I try to do that as much as possible, but Samsung really makes that complicated, because you get the S10 and then you're like, oh, this is great. And then the Note 10 comes out and it has more features and you're like, oh, dang, I could have got that instead. But then the S11, so their refresh is just kind of constantly causing buyer's remorse for people, I think, when they're that often.
Yeah. You know what? An interesting point you bring up was that I tell people my gauge is anything after WWDC, I tell them don't do it. Just wait. Because
that's a good line.
That's where I draw the line. I sometimes it's on, you know, I gauge it the first 6 months, the back end of the 6 months. Mm-hmm. For me, whenever we see WWDC, I look at it from the strategy point. That's like, we see what's optimized for our iPhones and iPads and Macs today, but when we get the hardware refresh during the fall timeline, it's built for what was just released at WWDC.
Sure.
So I draw the line at, you know, if it's leading up to WWDC, if it's just an average Joe Schmo, hey, here's what I'm looking at, I will tell them. If it's before WWDC, I'll be like, yeah, sure, I guess now's a good time. What are you looking at? If they're not saying they want the top of the top, like, oh, I'm thinking maybe get the 8 or maybe even the 7. I see it's cheap. Like, yeah, have at it. That's nothing's going to change on the 7 or the 8 between now and end of the year. Go ahead and get it now. But if you want to get, say, like the 7 before WWDC, yeah, get the 7 if you're trying to save some money but you want to be iOS, have at it. If it's post-WWDC and they say they want the 7, I do tell them, wait just a couple months if you can. Wait a couple months. Either you're going to find it not on Apple Store. They might not be supporting it. They might, but you can find it for a lot cheaper. Or you can get that model. If your price range is $500, you can get that for the 8, and here's all the benefits with it.
Sure.
And if it's someone's like, I want the newest and the greatest iPhone X, I'm like, then wait. Just wait after they announce the new one, because then you can get your XS, your XR, your whatever at a lower model or lower cost. And if that's your budget anyway, maybe you'll like what you see this year for the new line. But if you can afford to wait, do it. But I always gauge watches, not iPads, watches and iPhones will be after WWDC. I'll say wait. If it's before, like now, still go have at it. Because that's we would see what? Maybe at the end of this month, if they have a keynote, this is when they will release the product red. And so
I hope so. I'm really hoping so.
Yeah, if they do, because they know, like, now's the time. You won't see Product Red come out after WWDC because there's no point.
No, no.
So I won't promote it. So Apple doesn't promote it. I won't promote it.
Sure.
So that's where my gauge is at. Yeah.
Well, shifting topic slightly, I'm curious, Nick, do you still wear your Apple Watch?
I do. For the past, Friday and today.
Yeah, yeah.
I've set the OnePlus as a hotspot, and so I've been using my iPhone quite a bit. Like, I'm iMessaging Ethan right now.
Okay. So you're carrying around
I can't
both.
Get my
cheater.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to do one of the both things. I'm not going to leave it at home. It's just not practical. Oh, shut up. Yeah, sure, I'm cheating.
I'm telling Philip on you.
So the Apple Watch will work as long as the iPhone's connected to any kind of Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm at work, it'll be just, just fine. And if I'm at home, I'll turn the hotspot on the OnePlus or the iPad, and I should be able to get by. But yeah, I'm definitely still using the Apple Watch. Got to keep those streaks. I mean, got to get the activity somehow.
That's
not
true.
Gonna just let that.
Yeah, I. Mine will stay connected to the phone as long as it's within a Wi-Fi network that my phone knew. So I don't even need my iPhone with me when I go home because there's a Wi-Fi network there. The Apple Watch connects to that and then tethers to the phone that's at the office, which is funny that it works that way. But I've been wearing it without any of any of the notification features, really, just for a, placebo effect. It's like I'm used to having it there. And plus I like having something to tell the time on. Even though I'm not getting texts on it anymore, I'm not getting phone calls, I can't ping my phone from it because I'm obviously using the S10. So it's severely limited, but I didn't want to do the Pixel experience where I go all in and take off the watch along with it and don't use the watch for the time. Because I just am so used to it being there that I decided, like, yeah, it won't have most of its features, but I just need a basic watch anyway, so I keep wearing it.
Yeah.
I was always a watch guy before Apple Watch came out, so even if when I do get the OnePlus, like, I'm going to keep this because I'm just a watch wearer. I like wearing watches.
Yeah, I get that now. I am definitely a watch wearer.
Yeah.
Speaking go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, how are you guys' watches with your stainless and all that? I know Nick doesn't like his color, but all things considering, like, are you guys getting... Because I've never got... the stainless steel, so mine, I've been knocking it around and it looks still brand new, but I got no scuff scratches or nothing.
Good.
But I'm curious if your guys's are all jacked up yet or not.
No, I cannot see a single scratch on my stainless. I baby it quite a bit. My watch band has a few dings, but the watch itself is perfectly fine.
Good.
You were right to say I don't really like the color. There are certain circumstances, like right now I'm looking at it and it does look pretty. It's like a nice copper gold. Then there are other times it doesn't look right in other lighting. So I'm still not a fan of the gold color. But,
I relate to your watch. In certain lighting I will look really good and not all the time though. It's just not always good.
That's why we have an audio podcast, folks.
Yes.
So you don't see.
We're all sitting in a dark room without any pants on.
That, and we don't have to wear clothes, is pretty nice. It's great.
That's why I have to put the emoji on, because I feel like I just feel something's covered up. Can you imagine the Donald Trump emoji with and you just see me in a Speedo?
Oh, well, wait till we get Memoji clothes where you can, like, dress yourself up with the Memojis. That would be cool.
That's
then,
it.
Like, no one would ever wear clothes ever.
Speaking of AR, did you guys see the report that Ming-Chi Kuo gave earlier?
Today?
Yesterday, I think, or the day before. I think it was yesterday.
I wasn't on Twitter yesterday. Not like that. I wasn't.
So Kuo.
No, I didn't.
Made a claim, which is pretty out there. He's saying,
okay,
that the Apple AR glasses are going into production in Q4 of this year.
Ooh.
Which is quite ambitious, I must add. That's a lot sooner than I thought. Because I knew Apple was working on AR glasses. I just thought they were waiting until the tech was ready, but. What does this make you guys think? Do you think the tech is ready, or do you think that they're kind of rushing it?
I don't know how Ethan feels about this, but I'll go ahead and say it. Okay. Ethan is our app developer, and he's had a few experiences with AR glasses. I can't speak to which ones or what exactly he was doing with them.
Probably the
but,
Apple ones.
Probably. You know,
it's the most likely.
Probably. Yeah, but he'll
be weird otherwise.
Yeah, so he's been using some AR glasses and really he has some really good insights on that. And you know, whenever he comes on later in the next couple months when we do the app launch, I'm sure he'll want to talk about this more in depth. But I think the biggest problem with Ethan and I both agreed on this. The biggest problem with AR glasses right now is all of the ones on the market only take up like 40% of the field of view. Yeah. So if you like imagine your iPhone 10 held, I don't know, 6 inches or so, 8-9 inches away from your face, that's all inside the screen. That's the only area where they can display content.
I heard that complaint a lot with the HoloLens. They said like it's not that immersive because they can't cover much of your field of view.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway,
if they're ready to launch, a part of me feels like they're holding on to something. Like they're going to do something that we haven't thought about if they're doing it this early.
Probably.
Because if we're just talking hardware alone, no, I don't think it's there. It would be very, I don't know if the word is cartoonish, but like. Here's a good example. All of us, we're using emojis right now. And it's fun. It's gimmicky.
They're a little
we're
too
fun,
cartoonish,
but, you know,
says as an animated Johnny Ive.
Yeah. See, what we have here is very cartoonish emojis. But if we look really carefully, I think the AR glass. Hang on. I can't take myself seriously, so I took off the emoji for a second. But
I'll do it too.
Hi guys.
No, I'm leaving it on. I'm Tim Apple all the way.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good so, morning.
they're gonna if they're about to go into like production, they're gonna show us something that we didn't think about. Something or maybe it is something that we speculated that was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool? We wear the glasses and Apple Maps just like shoots the dots out. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking too. I think we're all thinking too small. They're gonna be like, but did you ever think about maybe? Hell, I don't know. I'm health. Something with health.
Something with health.
Something
I
with
agree.
Something with health.
I saw some stupid
know,
article that was like, you could see bio. What was it called? Health features coming on the next MacBook, and I was like, give me a break, people.
No.
Stop with the health sensors. We're healthy.
You stick like part of one of the corners on the MacBook into your ear, and it gives you your temperature.
Dave 2D is gonna love that. He's like, hey. My MacBook keeps overheating when I use crappy Adobe software. And Apple's like, well, don't worry. We're going to put an ECG on the next one.
We got you.
Right on the power button.
We got you, fam.
I don't think if it's what we all expect it to be, like if they kind of like overhype, not overhype on deliver, but if it's anything like HomePod or...
How could it be like the HomePod, though?
No. What I mean is like in context as like, that feeling, like if we see it and I'm like, that looks cool, and then I'm like, I'm completely underwhelmed by it. I can see myself like, and like that. Maybe it's more like, we're gonna talk about it. Here we go. Air power. What if they announce it and it doesn't come back? I tried so hard not to bring it up this episode. I tried. I tried so hard. I'm sorry, but
so
maybe.
Far.
But in the end, yeah, hey guys, I'm just saying, air power is dead. I'm going to say it every episode. If the keynote comes out this month, if we get it, I will, I don't know, something.
You're going to still mention it every week.
Consequences will be there. But air power is dead.
You keep talking about air power. It's like you're holding on. To the world.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
It's
Thank
stuck
you
in
for
my
the
head.
Plug.
Yeah.
Nice. I think air power is something that I've been holding on to the life I've never known. It's there, but I have to let it go.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, this is a free plug for Randy Vasquez's band, Time After Ashes. Go find them on Twitter.
Thank you.
No one said free. Thank
you. Good music, but they're also on Apple Music.
Check them out.
Apple Music, we're everywhere. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, I mean, since we're bringing it up, after this, at some point today, the boys and I are linking up today. We're actually going to try to do an acoustic version of that song.
Sweet.
Something we've been working on. So that's something we've been talking. We're going to try to get creative with it.
I want to hear that.
Just because, yeah, I've been, see, I've been setting up my piano over here because I've been working on something. I want to do an acoustic arrangement of it. So, nice. Yeah. That's something. But anyway, Air Power, it's dead, it's gone, and,
well,
and that's what
glasses.
Apple glasses.
What do you think, Nick?
I don't know. I'll buy whatever Apple comes out with. what do you think a price range would be?
I think it's going to be
what's
high.
The maximum you'd pay? Yeah, no, I know
the
it's going to be high. What was
you'd
the maximum
pay
you'd
double
pay?
That. Except not counting Ann Sweeney, because you would pay it.
Okay,
anyway.
So I was going to say 600, so 1200. I
Whoa,
would say
that's it?
Fair.
Yeah, I would.
For
I would,
what?
I would say, I think they'll start at $2,000. No joke.
Oh my gosh, that's
it's
it?
Be insanity. No, like, look.
Okay, I was thinking like 2,500 or 3,000 or something.
Oh, good.
Okay,
we
are clearly not. We are not on the same. Yeah, we are not on the same page.
That's a
what
really
do you guys
confusing,
think is going to come with this thing?
Just augmented reality, but with glasses. I think that if you look at what other AR is available right now. It's not cheap technology, and I know Apple is not going to skimp out on the specs or in the performance. I do have faith that because Apple, if Quo is right, of course, he has a pretty good track record.
Of course.
He could be wrong. But if Quo is correct and they are going into production in quarter four, that would mean a potential unveiling by WWDC 2020, which would line up with some leaks we've got in the past that Apple was working on AR glasses. There were leaks or reports of them working on a different OS just for them called Reality OS, codenamed, you know, just ROS. And they said that they would probably be ready by 2020. And I thought because of the technology not developing as fast as they were hoping, that would end up being delayed and we wouldn't see it till 2021 or 2022. But now that Quo, who is probably the biggest leaker, biggest, most verified confirming of Apple leaks is saying that quarter four it's going into production, I'm like, I bet they've developed something that the competition hasn't touched on yet, honestly. I think that unlike a lot of features like wireless charging or what would it call face unlock or OLED displays, a lot of things Apple is not first to. You know, a ton of other companies will experiment with tech and mess around with things and get there first, and then they're like, oh, innovation, Apple's falling behind, Apple doesn't innovate anymore. You know, we get all that. I think the glasses are going to be...
Can't innovate my ass.
Yeah.
Into thermal corners we go.
Right. I think the glasses is going to be one of those things that Apple truly is pioneering. Granted, there are augmented reality headsets right now, but I think that you know, Apple's one of the few companies that hasn't really messed around with VR. They didn't make a VR headset. They skipped out on that because they didn't really see that much potential in it. But clearly, Apple sees something big in AR, which means that if they do think they are ready to enter production by the end of this year, that means that they think it's good enough. They think the experience of it is decent enough that they can start marketing it towards consumers. Because Apple, for the most part, doesn't make... You know, opposed to like iMac Pro or the modular Mac Pro, they don't really make developer hardware. That's not something they're known for. They're not for like, we're going to make this prototype that we're just going to sell to enterprise and business. They usually don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, if Apple's making, especially a wearable of all devices, if they're making something that's wearable, this isn't for just an elite few that need it in the manufacturing department. That's what Microsoft did with the HoloLens. It wasn't made for consumers. $3,500, giant, bulky thing.
Yeah.
I think that Apple's developed something truly unique, and it's going to work very differently from the other pairs of AR glasses anyone's seen. And that means that if it has to meet the criteria that Apple's expecting, it's going to have some really high-end technology in there that's not going to be cheap. It's not going to be affordable. And probably similar to the Apple Watch release, everyone's going to kind of laugh at it and mock it for being like, how would they, like, for, you know, it's kind of like my argument for the foldable phone. With that price, I could get an iPad, an Apple Watch, and an iPhone. And it's going to be like that when Apple launches it. It's going to be insanely expensive. Yeah. And people are going to be like, oh, that's the future. And they'll probably look a little bulky. I've already seen some pretty decent concepts of how there's a few conceptors out there that have designed, like, how would you say, like, it's a bulky pair of glasses, but it's still fashionable. Because that's kind of I thought the biggest technological hurdle with the glasses is that they have to be small and light so that it's not, you don't look like an idiot wearing one. But at the same time, look fashionable because Apple is, by all means, I'm sorry, the audio listeners can't see this, but I'll hold it up for you guys to see what they could look like.
Kind of those bulky. Are like Snapchat glasses.
Yeah, kind of. They look more like the spectacles. Except the, just so we're clear, the Snapchat glasses are not AR at all. They're just glasses with a camera.
That's true.
They're a hot mess.
Yeah, they don't display content on your vision. So yeah, not the same department at all. But I truly think that when people say what's the next big thing, Quo talking about the AR glasses is making me think, I think this is it. I think this is the next big product release that's going to change the way we use all our devices. I think the biggest change since the Apple Watch did. He also did specifically say it's an iPhone accessory, which goes along with my predictions that the rendering and the imagery is processed on the iPhone and the glasses are just a display, essentially.
Literally on that note, that was my thought process about, like, under the new regime, Tim Apple's Apple.
Yeah.
under Tim Apple's Apple, we had the release of Apple Watch. And that, like, I think we've talked about before. I know Nick and I have drooled about it, but, like, we all loved that release. Like, that keynote, I can't remember.
It was
I've
fantastic.
Seen a lot of keynote. I love that keynote.
It was
so
definitely
much.
My
it was
favorite.
Beautiful. Yeah. And so
the best thing about it was we didn't know if the watch was being unveiled.
Yeah.
It was still the leak community, it was still like skeptical. People were like, maybe. And then when you watch the event, it's like, boom, check it out, everyone. Here it is.
So, and it's so great.
I've actually memorized Tim Cook's whole monologue, his opening monologue.
Nerd! Anyway,
but we're not quite finished yet.
Yeah, here we go.
We have one more thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, but I bring that up because what Tim has done with it was he did something very un-Apple, in my opinion. With the lineup that they did, and I was thinking about these as an accessory to the iPhone.
Yeah.
The reason why I think I initially told you guys that my price was so low is I think there's going to be different models of the AR glasses, the Apple glasses, whatever they want to call it.
Absolutely.
And he kept cost, at least to me, I felt relatively low in comparison to thinking it was going to be, you know, upwards to $1,000, which was only the, you know, you had 700, whatever your actual Apple Watch model was, and then you had the edition, which was 14,000, whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're not talking about that. No. But I think under their line of unveiling a new product, I think they're very strategic in the sense that when they announce this, when it comes, that not only are they gonna like kick us in the gut and take our breath away because we're not gonna, there's gonna be something we're not anticipating about it, because there was a lot of things on the Apple Watch I had no idea I wanted. And something that I use religiously now with, you know, checking, just trying to be more healthy in my life. But he says health is what we're going to be remembered for.
Right.
And I believe all this to say that the Apple glasses, these AR glasses, are going to be a companion to the watch and the phone, in the sense that
your wearable
there will be
ecosystem.
Different models. Yeah, and it's going to be
Rip
whatever
my ecosystem.
I know. <It's> But it's going to be health. We're going to see something in health and or preferably we will see something that we didn't anticipate in regards to like find my iPhone, find friends, find like in a way that people who are in the ecosystem as well, we can connect better in different ways. We can FaceTime, mm-hmm. like basically think Star Wars. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Like, we're gonna get that.
Right.
I feel like that's gonna be the thing that comes, but that's only if you buy the higher end model. Yeah. Something.
I totally think. You know, I know that for the most part, we consider the Apple Watch, you know, a huge success. It sold really, really well in the long run. Apple's crushing it in the wearables department. And the Apple Watch, though, you got to remember, when it first came out, everyone thought it was incredibly overpriced. All the smartwatches it was coming out alongside were around $200. That was like a pricey mm-hmm. smartwatch, $200. And then the Apple You're Watch right. came along starting at $350 for the small model. And Apple was pitching like, okay, that's the aluminum version. That's the sport. You know, that's the basic light version. If you want the stainless steel, that starts at $500. And if you want the larger screen, a lot of people, when they first bought the Apple Watch, the smaller 38 millimeter, everyone was like, that's too tiny. I can't use that. So you had to spend $400 to get the higher option. And then with stainless steel, it went up to, you know, closer to $800, $900. And then, of course, the gold ones. Mm-hmm. Everyone was laughing at it that, like, basically, it barely runs any apps. It's a skimmed, tiny down version of my iPhone without a camera, and it's $350. This is a flop. I remember that. I remember the launch of that, and I was still making tech videos, I think, when the Apple Watch was announced. And I remember thinking, yeah. like, it's a little steep on the price, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
And now in the long run, I think everyone has kind of established, like, that's a great price point for a smartwatch. In fact, Series 4 took it a little higher, and most people were okay with it because of how good the Series 4 was. And it's selling so well. A lot of people have justified that price point. I imagine the glasses are going to be a lot higher than whatever listener's thinking. Whatever you think it's going to be, probably more. Definitely. Because this technology is very premature, very much not ready. And yeah, I could, it could, most people I think are going to laugh at it when it first comes out.
Yeah, you're going to want to start saving now, kids.
Start saving now? You say, but the
Tesla?
So,
no need. Apple Glass.
Apple Glass, no need?
I just have so many questions about it. Like, how does it charge? Does it have a port, or does it sit inductively on something? Or
it goes on air power.
Like, I
okay,
bet
good. So we know we're getting air power at some point.
Yeah.
Might be 2099, but
glasses are a much bigger field of customization than the watches.
Yes,
like
definitely.
Watches, you have all these different watch bands, but with the Apple Smart Glasses, do you make versions that are sunglasses? Do you make prescription versions? And then you have to make specific versions for everyone's different vision issues that they have, and they need to wear them. There's so many questions I have about them that I'm just so excited to see, though.
I kind of
think... what's up, Nick?
So... If you remember back to, I know the Google Glass was kind of a big flop for multiple reasons.
Lots of reasons.
But if you think of how Google Glass didn't like have any glasses in it, like it was just kind of a frame, and then they let you pop in like sunglasses or prescription glasses, a round glass, square glasses. You know, you could be a little more customizable. I would imagine Apple will implement something more like that, where
you have a
it's a frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a frame, but then you can buy, obviously these will all be from Apple, you know, some prescription glasses, maybe some sunglasses, because that's my biggest thing. I use sunglasses all the time. And I'd be so bummed if
they made a whole standard for that. They're going to make another standard for the shades themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know those renders that you were talking about a few minutes ago, Drew, it looked like all of the technology was inside the lenses. And I would imagine that would not be the case because, you know, Apple's going to keep it more customizable. And there are ways you can project an image onto a piece of glass and have it reflect back into someone's eye.
Mm.
So if they can get that all set up, then, you know, I don't.
Drew sent us the workups, the mockups of what they might look like. And I'm thinking, oh, so we'll just look like raw a bunch of guys from the Beatles with those... circular things.
Yeah.
So here's what our Apple glasses would look like. I made them!
Oh, no!
Emoji!
We should look at emoji for hints. Maybe that's what they're basing their design off of.
Maybe. There you go.
So,
you just look blind, actually.
I'm Daredevil. How dare you?
Daredevil's blind. these things
Wait,
coexist.
Well, we're going to tweet that out. I just took a screenshot.
Oh,
so
good.
All those people who are wondering what's going on, go follow Talos of Cast on Twitter. What are you doing? And while you're there, tweet at Marques Brownlee and get him on this podcast. Yeah. We know he still follows
Dear
us.
Dear Marques Brownlee, Dear MKBHD,
Part two.
Brother, what is going on? You're listening to us. Please. Get everybody hashtag get M. No, I'm just kidding. Don't bombard him. Just
get the rock on Matt's podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So MKBHD, if you ever want to come on, you know, you just let us know, Marques.
We want to hear your thoughts.
We're definitely not desperate to get you on. We haven't been begging for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or, you know, we're.
Hey, just the fact because you went on Viper stream, I figured, hey. Why not us? I thought what we had was special.
Like, we made it into a second one of your videos. It just hurts my feelings, honestly, Marques. My art.
We're still there.
The art that I designed for the podcast was on your phone in a video seen by millions of people. And you don't have
what you're doing. You're making Nick hysterical. I'm gonna cut this part out. I'm gonna cut his audio part out.
Right.
But you're making Nick hysterical.
Okay.
This has been fun. This has been fun, guys.
It has.
Well, hey, but any closing thoughts, guys?
Closing thoughts. Air Power's dead. Marques, come on our show.
I'm pumped. I desperately hope Quo is right, because if 2020 is the year we get the. Finally, a new product line that's not an upgrade, not a sequel or anything. You know, just I'm pumped for that. So expect more videos and talk about that. Now that this is the first time we've gotten a leak that's confirming production. We've never had a glasses leak on going into production yet. So hopefully Quo's right.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. It's been fun. It's been real. And we will catch you all next week. This is your Apple Sheep here.
This is your audiophile Apple something something here.
And this is Nick Beta signing off.
Bye-bye,
Nick
guys.
Beta. This is Drew Talos of Randy Music Nick Beta. There we go. Perfect.
We'll see you in the next one.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.